I remember hearing the poem in Flanders Fields every November for so many years and having no sense of what it meant, but at the same time being moved by the words without knowing why. In keeping with the spirit of the moment, I bowed my head in silence obediently every year when the bell sounded, and promptly forgot about the occasion moments later. What did I know of war? What does anyone who has not fought to live, seen death and destruction, lost someone dear, know of war? Nothing. We know nothing of war, and even less of freedom. Theirs was the great war, the war to end all wars. It was supposed to be the last. They paid a terrible price so it would never happen again, and it was happening. And now their sons would go in their place. Yet for all this, I remember the stoic silence of their expressions, the gentle pride that for all they were promised and not given, for all they had sacrificed, they would still lay aside their private hopes and ambitions and stake their lives again for the ideal of freedom. I remember once I told my son that I would die so that he could live. I told him that I didn't want to die, that I was afraid to die, but that if it came to a choice between him and me, I would die so he could live. Then I said to him, "Don't make me die." I wanted him to see that he had a responsibility to those he loved too. I wanted him to know that every war, that all wars are born of indifference, and that we get there by believing that we're not responsible for our actions, and that we don't have to put something back for what we are given. I wanted him to understand that we keep losing our freedom because we become indifferent to it, ignorant of its priceless value, and of our responsibility to guard that peace which so many paid so dearly to win. But what could he know of such things? Until we have children of our own and guide them through the dangers of disease and injury in their preteen years, and their terrifying entry into the larger world of the pop culture, how can we know the tiniest part of what it means to lose a son or daughter or husband to the insanity of war? If the war dead we honor in memoriam could be restored to life now, I cannot help but think that they would view us as the enemy. They would do so because we have broken faith with them and with those who survived and came home. The war vets received only token compensation for what they did, and the debt remains unpaid. Let us suppose further that somehow I left in 39 and made it back almost 50 years later, and you told me about what we do to children nowadays, and about street gangs and drugs and illicit sex and pornography and violence against women and the elderly, and how they have condoms and needles and excrement washing up on the shores of the lake where we get our drinking water, and on the front lawns of homes where hookers ply their trade. I'm a guy who gave up my personal freedom, a guy who crossed an ocean to fight a monster in his war machine to keep them from landing on my doorstep. I want someone to explain to me why the rest of you gave up so easily what I was ready to die to save. I want to know why people buy a poppy and bow their heads for a minute on Remembrance Day and the next day forget what we died for. I want to know where they got the idea that soldiers create war. My God, I didn't ask to be a soldier. I never wanted to kill another human being. Jesus, doesn't anyone remember why this happened? In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep. Though poppies grow in Flanders Fields.